Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
Hope you're fully entered in wherever you're watching this from. And now we get to fully engage together in the Word. And actually, I'm going to bring this season of teaching that we've been in to a close, where we've been actually talking to you about how lockdown can lead to breakthrough. So many great messages and lessons we've learned in this season together about how our lockdown can actually lead to us breaking out in some areas of our life, whether that's in our families or in our marriages, in our faith areas, in our peace. Last week we looked at patience. And so I kind of want to wrap this up, put a bow on it, so that we actually have something to finish off this series and think about as we bring it to a close. And so today I'm calling this message the Lockdown Library. Over the last few weeks, we've been building a library into our lives. We've been reminding ourselves of truths that at any season of our life should be on the shelf of our lives, so we can pull on that truth in times when it is tested or times when we have doubts. And that's what our prayer is, that you've been building up your lockdown library over this season. You know, my kids are avid book readers. They love books. And there was a time in our lives when we couldn't keep up with their need for more books. And so we signed them up to the local library. Well, I thought it was a good idea at the time, until I had a pile of fines from the library. Because though we were really keen and eager to go and take books off the shelf, we kept forgetting and failing to take the books back to the library. And it was at that moment in time that I learned a lesson. It's no good borrowing the books that you're gonna need in life. At some point, they're gonna have to be returned. So the best way to actually do life is to build your own library. Because I believe as the church, we're supposed to be the lending library to our world and to our community. I believe we should be the place where people can find a book that we already own, that we've already read and had a bigger revelation of in our life. They can come to our lives and find the book of truth. They can come to our life and find the story of peace. And so I want us to have a library in this season that we know we own. We actually have the own books on our own shelves. And so this is one book I want to make sure that you have in your library today. You know, our libraries are full, aren't they, of our stories of adventure, our stories of our failings, and our stories of our victories. But there are some books that actually should never leave the shelf of our lives. And those are the books that we build the foundations of our life on. And in order to learn that lesson and add that book to our library, I want us to learn from the story that we find inside the book of Daniel. So we're going to turn to Daniel today, and I'm going to draw out some principles from his life that he had on the shelf of his life in his lockdown. You know, the whole book of Daniel is about a people that are in lockdown. God's people are in a time of lockdown, and Daniel is taken from his own household. He's taken from his own family, and he's placed in an even more extreme lockdown as he's put into isolation and made a servant in the king's household in Babylon. He is an exile of Jerusalem, and he's placed in this place of Babylonian gods and Babylonian worship. He is in lockdown in a young stage of his life, in the formative years of his life. And yet we're about to find from Daniel's journey that that lockdown actually confirmed some things in him that he would never change. And I think in a season where lots of things are changing, some for the good, some for the bad, lots of things inside of us are adjusting. Some are for our future and for our benefit, and some actually are adjusted because they're just circumstances we have no control over. But there are some things in this season that I want you to know that you know should not change, should not shift, and should not be up for someone to debate or to kind of adjust. And those truths are what Daniel actually brings to the forefront of his story as he journeys through the different challenges in his lockdown, but actually says, no, that book is staying on the shelf of my life. That truth is not going to be tampered with. So let's learn from his life some lessons. The first thing I want us to learn in this season and to put on the shelf of our life for good is this, that you need to, in this season, many of us need to reclaim our name. Let me take you to that book of Daniel. And let me read to you one of the first things that happened to him when he was placed in captivity. It says there in Daniel 1, that these men, Daniel and his three friends that we go on to later find out about, these four men were taken from their royal household. They were actually from the royal household. They were princes. They were serving in a place where they had power and they had authority. They had privilege. They had a sense of royalty attached to their name and attached to their identity. And yet all that was removed from them as they were placed in a place of service to the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so these four young men, the Bible tells us, were placed in the courtyards of this king. And the first thing that happened to them was that they were renamed. It says, four young men from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were among those selected. And the head of the palace staff gave them Babylonian names. To Daniel, he was named Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, he was named Shadrach. And to Mishael, he was named Meshach. And to Azrael, he was named Abednego. Now let me tell you why they did that. The names that these four men had been chosen for them by their parents, by those that were God-fearing in their household. And their names represented who they were. Daniel's name meant God Almighty is my judge. Hananiah's name meant my God is a gracious God. Mishael's name meant who is like my God. And Azariah's name meant God is my helper. And so when they arrived in this place of exile, when they were put into lockdown, the first thing the king of that land wanted to do was to change their names, for he did not believe in the power of their God. And he was not going to worship their God. This was a place, was Babylon, of idol worship. And so he renamed them. Belteshazzar meant I will serve this king, which was the king Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, his name now meant that he was under the command of the moon god. Meshach, his name was, who is like Aku, another god. And Abednego, his name meant, I am a servant of Nabu. In other words, they took God out of their name and they replaced it with a foreign god. I need you to know, church, in this season of our lockdown, we have to reclaim our name. We have to be more sure than we have ever been that we are a child of the Most High God. And when you know whose name you have after your name, when you know whose family you belong to, it changes everything. We are in a season like Daniel was, where so many things want to rename us. Unemployment wants to rename you. The failures of maybe your finances right now want to rename you. Maybe the stress in this season is trying to rename you. And all those labels come looking for you and they look for a place to land. But we must not let in this season our name to be changed, for we are children of the Most High God. Let me remind you who you are today, in case you are wondering in this season, in case the wearing of pajamas every day has made you to believe that somehow that's all you're good for, that you'll never get beyond this place of like lockdown, this season of feeling this apathy. No, I want to wake you up to your destiny today. Watch this in Galatians 4. This is who you are. This is your name. It says, you can tell for sure that you now are fully adopted as his own children because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but you are a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. You have complete access to the inheritance of your heavenly Father today. How mind-blowing is that? So when these financial pressures come and try and relabel you, you remind them, that is not my name. Debt is not my name. Failure is not my name. Unemployment is not my name. But I'm telling you, I am a child of God. Let me remind you again from 1 Peter 2, verse 10. But you are the chosen ones of God, chosen for his high calling of priestly work, chosen as a holy people, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him. If you're like, I don't have any work, yes you do. I don't have anyone to speak for, yes you do. Daniel was tried, they tried to relabel him. They tried to remove God from the equation of his inheritance and his name. But Daniel was literally from a royal household. Daniel literally was a prince. And in that time of serving a foreign god, in that time of being in a place of exile, he would not allow the label they gave him to define him. Church, today, you got to reclaim your name. You got to declare who you are in this season and never let that book off the shelf of your life. Remember when you were at school and you get a new textbook and you'd have to write at the front, this book belongs to? Well, you got to get back in the spiritual library of your life and start saying, no, this book belongs to, this truth belongs to. This is my lockdown library and this is the name that I know God has called me. You are highly favored. You are chosen. You are blessed. You are beloved. All those things are your name today. And amongst the chaos, Daniel never forgot his name. So let's reclaim our name today. Secondly, I want us to learn from his lockdown library that you can choose, you can determine your diet. You know, the second thing that they did with all those four men was they gave them an order that they must eat what the king actually portioned them. They must eat from the royal table, the finest wines and the finest food. And while that sounded like a good option and a good alternative for them to eat from the king's table, Daniel and those men knew something, that the food that was on the king's table was food that had been put first of all before idols, that this food had been sacrificed before an idol, that this food had had an idol and idolatry all over it. And Daniel said, I don't want to put inside my body what has actually been laid before an idol that I will not serve. And so Daniel said, though you are offering me what sounds good, I know the diet that is good for me. And so Daniel and his friends said to those that were serving them the food portions, we don't want to have to eat this stuff. Would you let us actually just have just the vegetables? Would you let us just have the food that we know is good for us? We'll just have a diet of vegetables and water. It says in Daniel 1 that he appealed to the steward, try us out for 10 days on a simple diet of vegetables and water, and then go ahead and compare us with the other young men who are eating from the royal menu, and then make your decision on the basis of what you see. And so the steward agreed. He fed them vegetables and water for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they looked better and more robust than all the others who'd been eating from the royal menu. Why? Because God honored the fact that Daniel decided, this will be my diet. And right now in our period of lockdown, I want you to know there's all kinds of food being put on the table for us to eat. There's the news every day that they're saying to us to digest. And I'm telling you, if you've had a belly food of that negativity every single day, it begins to make you sick. Your complexion becomes more downcast. Your disposition begins to change because the diet that you've chosen to eat is not one that God has chosen for your life. And so we have to realize, though there are things on the table for us to pay attention to, maybe news for us to listen to, that is not what we digest. We digest the truth of God's word over the facts that are on the table. We digest the power of his word over the things that we are being served in this time. You in this season get to learn a lesson that gets to be put on the shelf of your library for every season that follows this one. And the lesson is this, that you can determine your diet. No matter what is being extended to you, you choose what you put inside of yourself. You know, the Bible tells us that it's out of the inside of us, the overflow of the tongue speaks. And so if you're shocked by what's coming out of your mouth in this season, you've got to look at what you're eating. And maybe this is time for you to say, I don't want to eat that, and I don't want to drink that. I don't want to be partaking of that. I am choosing to have this discipline and this diet. I think lockdown is one of the best seasons for us to get our diet really strong and really robust like it was for those men. That actually, if in this season we'd have a daily prayer life, a daily devotional life, a daily time of worship, we would build up a diet that will sustain us when we exit this season and actually put a principle in our life that we don't want to move from when this season moves away. And so Daniel, in that moment with his friends, said, I trust that what God will do in me in this season is going to be far greater than what the king is offering me. And he was proven right, because even his complexion changed. You know, what we read and where we feed in the season will change even our complexion, so that others around us will see a health in us that they know doesn't come from just our natural food, but comes from where we are feeding from spiritually. So, secondly, I want you to have on the library shelf of your life that discipline within you that says, no matter what happens around me, I'm determining the diet within me. Thirdly, I hope you're enjoying this, because I am. Thirdly, I want you to do this. I want you to fireproof your faith. In this season, I want you to make sure that there is a fireproof set of things inside of you that no matter what happens, there is nothing that can touch it. And you know, in Daniel, we have that great story, don't we, of those boys going in to that fiery furnace. We hear the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so many times when we were growing up. If we were in kids' church, we did the little figures and the fire and the guys in the fire. But think about it. They went into a fire and it fireproofed their faith. They learned something in the fire that they would have never learned in any other circumstance. Church, we can learn something in this season of testing that we can actually take to the bank in every other season of our life. Why don't we in this season choose to fireproof our faith? Let me just take you to that story and remind you of it just for a moment, and then let me show you what the fire can do to your faith. It says, they took those men, and the king was so mad that they wouldn't follow his orders. And so they threw them into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into the fire. And it said, he ordered the furnace 7 times hotter. And then he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie them up and throw them in. And the fire was so hot that the people throwing them in the fire were burnt up. But you know what happens in that fire? It says this. They went in the fire, and the king leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. And he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. I'm telling you, church, that excites me, that in this season, the fire can fireproof our faith, and the fire can actually develop something in us that no other season can. Let me tell you 3 things that a furnace does. Number 1, it removes the dross. Number 2, it refines the metal. And number 3, it forges something new. In this season, let's think about our faith. What's the dross? It's the stuff that actually is of no use. It's the stuff that actually is making the purity of what we have be contaminated. And in this season, whether we feel the heat because of our circumstances, we feel the heat because of our loneliness and isolation, in this season, we get to choose not to be burnt up, but actually to use the fire to actually remove the dross from our life, remove the things that we don't even need. This has been a season, hasn't it? To actually just say, I don't even need that. I don't need that person in my ear. I don't need that conversation in my countenance. I don't need to be actually feeding from that place. I don't actually need that stuff. It's let us see what actually has become dross in our life. And the furnace, the hotter it gets, the more the dross it burns off. So embrace the heat, because you can see how it can be used to actually bring new purity into the area of your life. It refines the metal. You know, gold, when it goes in the furnace, it loses the impurities and it comes out a higher carat, a higher quality. It refines. And in this season, I believe if we use it right, the fire of this season can refine us in our faith, faith, in our trust, in our truth, in our worship. I think we can have the best worship, the best preaching, because it refines us in our actual going through this furnace. And thirdly, it forges something new. You know what was forged in that furnace? What was forged was a friendship with the Son of God. What was forged was finding that there was not just three in the fire, but there were four in the fire. And I believe in this season, there's a forging of your friendship with God like never before. I believe He'll reveal Himself to you in new ways. I believe He'll speak to you in new ways. If you will go in the fire knowing it will not burn you, it will not harm you, but it may just refine you and it may just forge something greater on the inside of you. So don't fear the fire. Instead, fireproof your faith. And finally, and I love this one, and I have a friend that's going to help me in this point in a moment, so get ready. Finally, this is the other truth I want you to get in the library of your life. His presence always prevails. His presence always prevails. I'm telling you, there is nowhere you can go from the presence of God. There is no pit. There is no fire, there is no storm, there is no depth, there is no height that can separate you, church, from the presence of God. His presence permeates everything, overwhelms everything. And in the last part of this book of Daniel, we see the presence of God in such a beautiful way as we find Daniel in the lion's den. Let me tell you, we've all heard that story in our growing up seasons of life, I'm sure. But you know, Daniel was not a little boy when he was thrown in that pit. They think that he was well over the age of 70 when he went in that pit with those lions. Daniel had stayed faithful for all of that lockdown season. And now in this test of going in a lion's pit, he goes in there, but he goes in there knowing the presence of the God is more powerful than the predator in the pit. The presence over the predator every single time will put you in positions that you never imagined. Because I'm telling you what happened in that lion's den. While the king was in the palace on the finest linens, he could not sleep because he did not know the presence of God. But while Daniel didn't have linens, but he was in a pit with lions, he had the presence of God. And Daniel's problem became his pillow. The thing that was there to intimidate him became the place where he lay his head and slept like a baby. How do you get your lion, your problem, to turn into your pillow? There's only one way. It's called the presence of God. And I'm saying to you, church, in this season, there are some things that have intimidated you for too long, but they are going to be the place where you sleep in the future. That the storm will become the place where you sleep. That the battle will become the place where you realize how blessed and how covered and how protected you are. That the pit will become the place where you learn how to have peace that passes understanding. And the lion's den becomes a place where you declare the presence of God is greater than the devourer of an enemy. You know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes like that lion prowling around. But I ain't afraid of him. He got no teeth. He's got no teeth, church. The presence of Almighty God is way more powerful. He's already defeated. And that should be the book on the library of our lives. The shelves of our life should tell that story loud and clear. If all other stories fade away, let's make that one the center of our lockdown library. We win. He is victorious. His presence is my weapon. His presence is surrounding us right now in this lockdown. You are not alone. You are surrounded.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.